We're elevating how Texas banks. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Michael Gelkin.
And I'm Calvin Watkins. We're just two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. You know what, Michael? The Cowboys are back after a long break from their Thanksgiving win over the Giants.
It does seem like a while ago since the last time the Cowboys were on the field. A lot of turkey and pie ago. A few areas deserve revisiting. Why did the team commit four false starts in a home game again? We're seeing an evolution at the tight end position. What does that mean for Dalton Schultz's long-term future? And why Trayvon Diggs is playing the best football of his career?
And we are joined by our fellow Cowboys beat writer, David Moore, to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and the Cowboys' stretch run to the season.
Sports Day Cowboys starts next.
You have a 3-year plan and a 30-year plan. At Texas Capital Bank, we've transformed our bank to offer solutions that will grow with you. From enhanced treasury management and corporate banking to personal banking and wealth management, we're dedicated to delivering the full-service support you need to secure the growth and success of your business. All from a full-service financial firm founded and headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Cowboys have penalty problems again. 39 pre-snap penalties this season, and Mike McCarthy reviewed all the penalties during the break. Michael, is this a major issue going forward?
Apparently, because last year, the Cowboys spent a whole lot of time talking about the need to improve at negating pre-snap penalties. It showed up in the playoff loss against the 49ers. They talked a lot about it still over the course of the offseason. Ad nauseum, players have heard Mike McCarthy belabor this issue. And yet you look, and four false starts against the Giants on Thanksgiving. They had four false starts in the season opener against the Buccaneers. Both of these games, again, at home. Cowboys just haven't been able to really get the cadence in lock the way that they should. I think there's a number of reasons why. You know, we've talked about pre-snap penalties on this podcast before. Mm-hmm. Like the Jalen Tolbert lineup off sides, that was a once in a season type of deal, probably once in a career type of deal for Tolbert. But this false start thing, it was four different players last week doing it. So, yeah, it's an issue. You heard Kellen Moore describe, you know, he's got to do maybe a better job of keeping guys in the huddle a little bit longer, especially coming off of an injury on the field. That happened three of the four false starts. So Cowboys think they can kind of categorize what's happening here. But either way, it seems like if it's not one thing, it's the other. And they got to figure this out.
You know, there's an old saying about when you have penalties, is that on the coach or the players? Whether it's pre-snap or whether it happens in the competitive balance of a football game. And the Cowboys were having this problem last year, especially toward the end of the year. Remember the playoff game? They had a franchise record in penalties in the loss to San Francisco.
14, I think of them.
14, was it 14? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
That's on the head coach, bro. It's on you guys, on the head coach. There's one common theme, the head coach, Mike McCarthy. So you got to fix this. This is your issue to fix. You got to hold people accountable to this. When they make a mistake, you got to pull their ass out of the game. And that's what you have to do. Earlier in the year, Kellen Moore had talked about the penalties being a problem. He said, you know what? Maybe we got to bench guys. Mike McCarthy, for all the reviewing you're doing during the Thanksgiving Day holiday, is anybody really scared of you? You got to make people scared of you. This is the National Football League. And look, Michael, as it stands right now, these guys are going to be on the road for the playoffs. You know, they might be playing Tampa Bay, might be Tom Brady's, you know, last year. If they win that, they got to go to San Francisco, a team they have matchup problems with. You cannot afford to have these pre-snap penalties mess you up. Now, a majority of these false start penalties, as you pointed out, have been at home. That's inexcusable. It's inexcusable, man.
14 false starts
at home
in six games.
In your own building.
And only two on the road.
That's in your own building. I don't hear nothing about no cadence issue between Kellen Moore and Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott and whoever else. You get paid to do this job, get the job done, man.
I'll tell you what, though. We talked a lot about the Cowboys' third down struggles this season. And that's been lights out over the past
they
four
fixed
games.
That?
61.1%, best four-game stretch that any NFL team has had this season. Same people need to fix this problem now. You trust that they'll get it figured out like that issue. If they
will
can,
they?
If they can.
They had the same problem last year.
If they can. I'm with you. But if they can.
You better.
Then we're talking about an offense in November, December now that is dangerous. Mm-hmm. More dangerous already than what we're seeing.
Let's talk about your boys.
Let's talk about them. You know.
Who are we talking about, Michael? Tell us now.
Tight ends.
That's right.
Tight end position is, to me, it's been fascinating all year. Mm-hmm. Back in March, we learned that Blake Jarwin in February had a really rare for an NFL player surgery where he had a hip resurfacing, and he hasn't played football again. He hasn't been signed again, and that's a direct result of the nature of this surgery. And so there goes the Cowboys' view of having Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz for years. Sean McKeown was a guy who had some durability question marks last season. He had repeated stingers, a guy who couldn't really stay healthy, ankles. He was the only other proven guy beside Dalton Schultz on the franchise tag. Now you look up and give the Cowboys personnel department credit, give tight ends coach Lundo Wells credit, give everyone, I think, in the building credit for Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot, with Schultz, with McKeown. It's two straight games the Cowboys have given all four of their tight ends more or at least 15 offensive snaps. A lot of the touchdowns this season, including the Red Kettle touchdown, was one of two touchdowns with four tight ends on the field. Four tight ends. You just don't see that. Like, period. I look at personnel groupings around the league. Other than the New Orleans Saints, with Taysom Hill at quarterback, I don't think there's a single NFL team that's run a play with four tight ends on the field at once. Cowboys are doing it. You've seen McKeown at fullback. They're doing it effectively. Where does that leave Dalton Schultz, though, now under the franchise tag in the long term?
I think this leaves him either working at Starbucks or working for another NFL team.
Okay.
I think that's what, I mean, no, seriously.
The latter.
He's going to work for another NFL team, but this is also an indictment of your receiving core.
Totally.
Because you only got two receivers, basically, in CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. And the other guys, you just taking up space. But we're talking about Dalton Schultz. He's gone. And we like Dalton Schultz. But remember, he hurt his knee earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. So I remember talking to him in the locker room, one of the last times I did talk to him in the locker room. and he was like, I just can't get a break with this leg. I just can't get a break with my health right now. Because he's been relatively healthy in his career. And now he gets this injury in a year where he gets the franchise tag. And if you remember, Michael, Stephen Jones said, we gave him a nice little offer. And he wouldn't take it. Yeah, I probably should have took it. Because now Peyton Hendershot, who they like, Jake Ferguson, who they drafted, they like, those are your two tight ends for next year. And McKeown will stay around, and they'll probably draft another tight end because they really like Lunda Wells, the tight ends coach for the Cowboys. He knows how to evaluate this position.
Clearly, the track record for this year,
it's been unbelievable.
It's been spectacular. I think we do need to give credit to Dalton Schultz on not just, you know, him pushing through the PCL and he aggravated it, and he got scored his first touchdowns of the season against the Giants on Thanksgiving, but you see the lack of selfishness from Schultz this year. And I think it's worth highlighting because you mentioned the franchise tag. There's a lot of stress that, you know, pressure that comes with playing it under that 1 year deal. That's why players don't like doing it. Your long-term future is cloudy. And you see when they scored a touchdown, there was four tight ends on the field early in the year. And Jake Ferguson scores that, I believe, and does like a hog tie celebration where Dalton Schultz is like a cow, like a calf, running away from a rookie fourth round pick, pretends to be lassoed by the rope, and then like puts his feet and hands together so Ferguson can tie him up. I mean, that's a veteran tight end just being so over the top about celebrating a rookie touchdown. And then we saw it again with the whack-a-mo. You see it in the room, the way he just, you know, brings these guys along, answers questions, interacts with them. They're all sitting in the same corner of the locker room. I think you got to give credit to professionalism. It's part of the culture in this building, in the locker room. And, you know, Calvin, we're there all the time and we see it. So I think it's worth highlighting for our listeners who aren't in the locker room. It all checks out with Schultz in this tight end room. What you're seeing on the field of them working together, working on the field, all of that applies on the practice field and in meetings and the sort.
He's not a selfish guy. He's a good guy. I mean, he's a player rep, so he cares about what's going on in the league and those kinds of things. So, yeah, I mean, what he's doing is fantastic. I mean, he's proven to be a leader in that tight end room and on the team, but this is the business that we're in, and he won't be here next year.
Tough financial decisions ahead.
But there was one financial decision that was positive. It was, remember, they tried to get Randy Gregory, tried to re-sign him, and he reneged on the deal, but they took care of Dorrance Armstrong, and he's having a fantastic year. When we talk about players who we thought, well, okay, we'll see what he can do, he's having a career high in sacks with 8 this year. He's had a fantastic year.
He has. It's impressive about him. And we're going to talk Trayvon Diggs too, but I'm glad you mentioned Dorrance. Dorrance is a guy who was a special teamer predominantly, and he was seen as just kind of, you know, a little bit raw defensively. He couldn't get on the field his first couple seasons in the league, and so it was more rotational role. But special teams, he was a star. He's just so versatile. He's big. He's fast. He can bend. All those sorts of traits have really, now that he's been honed with the technique and all that, you're seeing it on defense. And that's ideally the arc that any young player can strive for when you get into the league is, all right, especially if you're like a day 3 draft pick, all right, I might not have, you know, it's the starting job that I had in college and high school and the rest of my life. That might not be where I am to begin my NFL career, but there's this window on special teams. And so if I can pay attention, if it's whatever it is, Kelvin Joseph right now is doing that in terms of how he's standing out and how he's helping the team. But that's the path, and you hope that the long-term development on offense or defense comes, and that's what has happened for Dorrance Armstrong. That was a contract the Cowboys took care of in March, and that has, no doubt, to your point, paid dividends.
And Randy Gregory has only 2 sacks this season, but he's nursing an injury, and I don't think he'll be back the rest of the way.
Which is part of the evaluation, right, with Gregory. If it's not one thing, it's the other, which is unfortunate. But Trayvon Diggs, to wrap up this segment, he doesn't have the interceptions that he had at this time last year. He had 8 picks through the first 11 games in 2021. We all knew going into the season that probably wasn't going to be replicated. It was the first time in 40 years that someone had as many interceptions as Diggs had last year. But he's been better this year, Calvin. And I think one reason you can tell is a stat that isn't interceptions. Last year at this time, teams were targeting him 71 times. This year, that's all the way down to 55.
Ooh.
That's a sizable drop. I asked Dan Quinn about it earlier this week, and he said, yeah, that is an indicator of just what Diggs has done. And he's looked pretty damn good, too, as a perimeter run defender against these short passes. He's far more physical than he was last year.
I'm not going to give him a lot of credit for being physical, because there were some times this year where he's made some business decisions. Let's be honest about that.
I see fewer of those this year than I do last.
Yeah, but but before we put him in the Hall of Fame for being a tackler, he's made some business decisions. And I will say, yeah, I did notice last year teams weren't afraid of Trayvon Diggs. They were going after him, and he's their best corner. And you know what? They're going after Anthony Brown, and when he was knocked out, they had Kelvin Joseph. They would go after him too. And no one's going over to Diggs. And that's an indictment of – well, not even an indictment. I think that's just another example of how good of a season he's having, where he's shutting people down. You know, and it's not so much he's following, the opposing team's best receiver, because when they played Minnesota, he did take on Justin Jefferson quite a bit, but it wasn't like that was his sole focus from the first snap to the last snap. But whoever he's covering, he's shutting those guys down. And he's having another Pro Bowl-type season. Hopefully, he will get that respect again and get to the Pro Bowl, maybe even an All-Pro bid, possibly. I don't know if I'm going too far here with the...
Well, he got it last year and is playing better.
Yeah.
But voters see interceptions. It's like with sacks. Like when Marcus Lawrence would ball out, but he would end the year with sub-10 sacks, a lot of people thought DeMarcus wasn't a quality, one of the top edge defenders in the league, which he is. So people see those gaudy stats, and that's what they tend to,
That's true.
Go toward when it comes to voting. But he's been better this year than last, and we'll see what kind of accolades he gets for that. But either way, he's better for the Cowboys, and that's what matters most.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to the Morning News' David Moore. We're going to talk about Odell Beckham Jr., whether or not we have our cell phones on the proper mode when we're flying, And if the Cowboys can win the division, as Sports Day Cowboys rolls on.
You have a 3-year plan and a 30-year plan. At Texas Capital Bank, we've transformed our bank to offer solutions that will grow with you. From enhanced treasury management and corporate banking to personal banking and wealth management, we're dedicated to delivering the full-service support you need to secure the growth and success of your business. All from a full-service financial firm founded and headquartered in Dallas, Texas. Texas Capital Bank. Member FDIC. TexasCapitalBank.com.
Supposed to say Cowboys has a repeat guest, something that doesn't happen too often. It's David Moore, one of our longtime NBA NFL writers, and he's back. Hi, David.
I would hope you could have done better for a repeat guest and other than having me for the first one.
It says something like when Mike McCarthy has his first repeat captain, you know, the weekly rotating captains. It always means something when he chooses a guy a second time in the season. We chose you, David.
That just means everyone else fell through, but I'm honored to be back on the podcast.
Very good, very good. You know, we got 6 games left, right, Michael? I think I got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 games.
Good math.
Indianapolis is first, and I think we go to Jacksonville. We got Houston, all these kinds of games. To win the division, do they need to go 6-0 and need help from Philly to lose? Well, what do they got to do in the last 6 to make this season really meaningful?
Well, they have to win the rematch on Christmas Eve with Philadelphia. That's a given, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, even at that, you're still 1 game back at the moment. So, basically, Dallas is in a position right now, especially heading into that Philadelphia game, where it can't afford to lose. Now, again, the next 3 opponents on this list all have losing records. They should be able to take care of business here. But you want to take this through to the end of the season. Dallas, if Dallas loses 1 more game, that means Philadelphia would have to lose 3 games in order for Dallas to still have a chance to win the division. And that seems highly unlikely. So it appears the Cowboys are really in the position of having to run the table, especially through Christmas Eve. And then if that puts them 1 game back, then you have 2 games left in the season, and you can see how that unfolds. But they're in a position where, frankly, I think their next loss relegates them to a wild card team with no shot of winning the division.
Let's play find the loss on the Eagles' rest of season schedule. Actually, not as difficult to find as I thought, because the Eagles, they've been winning, but they also haven't played a whole lot of people. They're 10-1. Tennessee at home this week. At New York Giants, at Chicago Bears, at Dallas Cowboys, 3 straight road games. Mm. And then they wrap up at home against the Saints and against the Giants. Genuinely, do you think, David, that there is a realistic outside, are you saying there's a chance that the Cowboys could be NFC East champions? Or are we talking wild card here?
I think there's a chance, but like you say, you look at that schedule, I don't see Philadelphia going 3-3 with that schedule. It's very unusual for a team, unless there are some key injuries here. Now, that changes the complexion dramatically. Mm-hmm. But I would say it is realistic to expect Philadelphia to have 2 losses out of that. Well, now suddenly you're looking at Dallas not having to have any in order to, and then try to win it with the tiebreakers. So I think the odds are stacked against them. And all of this comes down to just a requirement, them beating Philadelphia at AT&T Stadium on Christmas Eve in the rematch. So I think that still, with the schedule Dallas has right here, the 3 games coming up, like we talked about, the Colts and then Houston, who at current time has the number 1 pick in the draft, and I would doubt would move off of that, and then at Jacksonville. All of Dallas is better than all 3 of those teams, should win all 3 of those games. And to me, the key coming up here is, and it really changes the dynamics pretty quickly. If Tennessee is able to beat Philadelphia this week, now suddenly you start to look at things differently, right? And things tighten up a little bit on the Eagles as they look at their schedule going forward, because suddenly that cushion is no longer there.
Well, that Christmas Eve game against the Eagles, clearly a big one. Here's a question, and I want us to kind of go around the table here. Will Odell Beckham Jr. be a Dallas Cowboy by then? Percentage chance. Odell Beckham Jr. becomes a Dallas Cowboy. David, lead us off.
I'll go 75 to 80%, right in that range.
Okay. Calvin?
I would say 80%, because the way the Cowboys have been talking, they're talking like this guy's coming here. Now, it was interesting that Jerry Jones mentioned on his radio show earlier this week when he said 2022. That's what he kept saying, 2022. You know, even though we know Beckham wants a multi-year deal, but he kept mentioning this year. And to me, I think Beckham wants, obviously, a multi-year deal. But the Cowboys, I think, in their minds, like, we're giving you a one-year deal, basically the stretch run of the regular season and however many games we got in the postseason, and we'll holla. And I think that's going to be the holdup. And if it doesn't work out, the Cowboys are going to have massive egg on their face here, because as much trash that they've been talking about, we need to have Odell Beckham for McCarthy, Steven, Jerry, Dak, CD, Parsons, Gallup, all these guys. You're talking about prominent guys in this organization talking about we want Odell Beckham Jr. And he's with the Giants or he's in Buffalo. That's a failure on your guys' part.
No doubt. It's unusual to hear so many people in an organization talk so publicly about a player who is not part of their building. I say 85%. I'm the highest in that category. I just don't.
There's no difference between 85 and 80, but I'm with
87%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
I'm going 91 now.
Oh, geez. Well, we'll ultimately find out. I don't think we're going to have to wait too long to find out. Odell Beckham Jr. visits the Cowboys, scheduled to visit on Monday, and we will see.
I got a quick question for both of you. Mm-hmm. Is this an indictment of them saying, we made a mistake in letting go Amari Cooper?
If they pay him $20 million a year? Probably. At some level. Or maybe they just prefer Odell Beckham Jr. at $20 million a year because they certainly weren't comfortable with Amari Cooper at that value. I don't know. I don't know if I see it as that. I mean, they let Amari go and clearly have themselves a need at wide receiver post-Cooper, post-Cedric Wilson. So, I think it's a reflection probably that some of their contingencies haven't exactly panned out. A third-round pick on Jalen Tolbert. Signing James Washington to a one-year contract, and he's had foot issues from the jump.
Two bad feet, James Washington.
And so I think it's definitely an acknowledgement that their contingencies were not what they hoped. What about you, David?
Oh, sure. If he makes anywhere close to what Amari Cooper was making, yes, this is just a very public acknowledgement that trade did not work out the way they anticipated. That their stopgap measures or how they intended to move on weren't going to do it. There's really just no other way to look at it. I would throw in one thing in here real quick though. I guess my question to Odell Beckham when he comes in the building on Monday would be, how strong is he in his stance of not buckling his seatbelt on flight? Because if he does that, it will be difficult to get him to road games for the remainder of the way. And I think that would factor into how much he would be worth.
Did you just introduce like a harness on, like a certain, like get like a strap over the shoulders? Maybe that'll make him more comfortable.
Yeah, maybe he has specific requirements on how he likes to buckle up. But I think you need to get to the end of that, because the Cowboys do end with two road games in the regular season. And as we just talked about earlier, it appears the most likely scenario is they will have to make their way through the conference as a wild card team, which means it will be on the road.
I just wonder if he's going to put his phone on airplane mode when he's on these flights going to D.C. and Nashville, and if they go to Tampa for the first round, and if they win that, they got to go to San Francisco to play the 49ers. I hope he does that, because, you know, when your phone's on airplane mode, it messes up all the communication with the cockpit and wherever they're going. Okay,
that's what they tell us.
That's what they tell us, you know. Even though I forgot many times to do it, and the plane has landed about 1,000 times, you know. I'm sorry, you know. But I digress.
Well, I'm not sorry. I'm glad the plane did land, even when you left it off, when it off airplane mode.
But. Thank you, David. Thank you.
David, when we talk about upcoming games and the Cowboys play Sunday evening against the Colts, of course, we talk a lot about matchups, about on the field, about, you know, Jonathan Taylor against the Cowboys run defense, or, you know, this player versus that. Do you think this is a unique week where you almost have to discount, at least slightly, if you're a Vegas odds maker, maybe by 3 points or so, discount the Colts' likelihood of winning just because of an experienced head coach on one side in Mike McCarthy and an inexperienced head coach in Jeff Saturday, who it cost the Colts the other night? Do you think that will have a tangible effect on the outcome of this game?
I think it will. I think that and it's not just Mike McCarthy. I think the staff and he has put together here in Dallas is outstanding. I think this has been one of the best overall staffs that the Cowboys have had in a long, long time. And I think you're seeing some tangible benefits from that. Jeff Saturday, from the fact that he had not really coached any significant amount of time, and certainly not at a higher upper echelon level, but also just throwing him into a staff that he wasn't able to put together himself, who many of them he really doesn't know. And now suddenly you're interacting in a way that different than you've had. And look, let's face it. I'm sure there's some people on that staff who are saying, well, why am I reporting to this guy? He should be reporting to me. So I think there are a lot of dynamics in place that make it very difficult for the Colts where they are at this season to get any sort of traction. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, you get the points for the home field, but I think you get points for the talent, relative talent, obviously. But I would imagine the odds makers are kicking in a few more points for the coaching staffs here, especially after what we saw or didn't see at the end of that game against Pittsburgh on Monday night.
It was interesting that we had asked Mike McCarthy about, you know, hey, look, you paid your dues and you're a head coach, and Jeff Saturday was a player and he's coaching high school football and he's making millions of dollars working for ESPN, and now someone says, hey, I want you to coach a team in the National Football League. And he was like, it was very interesting, but he took a very politically correct tack because he knows that these owners are crazy, because he gets a check from one who's crazy too. So
some owners are crazier than others, which may be a good segment to have at some point, to rate the crazy owners.
Yes, that'd be good. The top 10 crazy owners in
this is why we have you multiple times this season. You got great segment ideas, bringing the goods. We appreciate you, David Moore.
But in reality, this Colts team is a bad football team. They're a bad football team. Even when Frank Reich,
they were struggling before the move, which is why a move was made. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and Matt Ryan, he's like 75 years old trying to play quarterback in this league. And
he's 80, same percent chance.
Same percent chance, right. You know, he leads the NFL in fumbles. If the Cowboys should beat these boys by at least 2 touchdowns.
Wow. Well, and this is, you know, how often we've talked about the blueprint for victory for Dallas. And if Dallas at home, based on what we've seen off of the Colts, based off of what we saw of Matt Ryan on Monday night against Pittsburgh, if Dallas doesn't turn the ball over early in the game, jumps out to a 14-0 or 17-0 lead, and now suddenly you have to go away from Jonathan Taylor and put the game in Matt Ryan's hands and throw more than you would like, what is that going to look like the rest of the way? So that's, you know, the Colts have to weather the storm early and stay in it. And, you know, Green Bay did that early. You know, the Giants did that early to some extent as well. But still, I just think the talent gap and where they are right now is going to be too great for Dallas to lose that game. But we've seen how they put themselves in a position to lose, right? And if they have more early turnovers, if they find themselves with a halftime. In fact, you know, this was the only game this year that they won when they trailed at halftime. So Dallas has not been a particularly good second half team when trailing in the first half. So that there is a way for the Colts to earn a victory here, but I would say it's a very slim path.
It's unfortunate, but we're going to be there Sunday night. I just don't understand why they can't flex this game to like Sunday at 9 a.m. But, hey. But David, we appreciate you joining us this week. You know, for the second time this year, maybe be a third time if the Cowboys get to the playoffs, which I think they will. So we might be bringing him on a third time, Dave, Michael.
I would love that. If you'll have us,
if
David.
If he has us, yes.
They will make the playoffs. At this point, I don't see any way that the Cowboys do not make the playoffs, which I'm sure you guys have talked about, would be the first time in back-to-back years, 2006, 2007, which is going back a ways.
Historic.
Now you're just showing off, David. Now you're just showing off. Unbelievable. You're telling the future.
I had it right in front of me. I was reading it.
David, we appreciate your time. Coming up next, I Disagree on Sports Day Cowboys.
Hey, listeners, this is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
All right. I've gone back and forth on this. I think I've meditated about it and done a lot of different things. And Ezekiel Elliott does not have a future with the Dallas Cowboys.
I disagree. Have you looked at his contract?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of elements to this. Let's start with, do the Cowboys want Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas in 2023? I'm not going to get into 2024, 2025. I'll talk about next year. I don't know why you want to talk about this in, you know, December. We got ourselves a season ahead, but if you want to talk about this now, we'll talk about this now. Ezekiel Elliott is someone that the Cowboys value. We're talking about Zach Martin the other week saying that he's the consummate person of just gets this team going. It's not just on the field, which it is on the field. You saw him have a big game on Thanksgiving. He's certainly capable of that still. The knee issue that bothered him, the midpoint of this year, that appears to be behind him. He's still got that knee brace, but it overall appears to be behind him. He is a valuable compliment to Tony Pollard, as is Pollard a compliment to him. There are things that aren't working right now with this Cowboys offense. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard in this run game and this offensive line that we could spend probably more time talking about. The run game is working. Big part of the third down improvement is the run game. So Ezekiel Elliott, you need to figure out the numbers. I mean, the real ultimate spoiler alert of the Cowboys 2023 offseason is that Ezekiel Elliott currently is scheduled to count $18.22 million against their 2023 cap. That ain't happening. They're going to rework his contract just like they did with DeMarcus Lawrence. That will get done, and that will keep Ezekiel Elliott a Dallas Cowboy, and you could probably franchise tag Tony Pollard too while you're at it. That money, you work it around, you get it done, both players in Dallas in 2023. Why do you think otherwise, Calvin? Because I, again, disagree.
The last 2 years, this man has had knee problems. And when running backs have knee problems, it's time for them to go get jobs at Target. It's just what it is. That's just the business.
You can work across the street from Dalton Schultz. Is that what you're saying?
Dalton Schultz. That's just the business that we're in. I mean, let's be honest here. When guys get hurt at that position, the running back position, which is not a very durable position in a league, well, yeah, more and more teams are running the ball now, but the shelf life for running backs is almost non-existent now. It's time to move on from Ezekiel Elliott. Now, the cap number is $18 million or whatever it is for 2023. I'm not renegotiating that. I'm saying bye-bye to him. I want to tell Tony Pollard, you know, you could franchise Pollard and maybe get about $9.5-$10 million if you tag him. You could tag him again for another year. They got this kid named Malik Davis, undrafted free agent. We all love him. He's played well in mop-up time. When Zeke's been on the sidelines, hurt again because he's got a big-ass brace on his leg. And so Malik Davis, Tony Pollard, those are my guys in 2023. hey, Michael, have you heard of this thing? It's called the NFL draft. They could draft him a running back in day two or day three and get them somebody to get work with Skip Pete, who is their running backs coach. And look, this year, you're right. The running game has been, I think, to me, the number one success to the offense. It's been a running game. When Cooper Rush was in there, when Dak was out with a broken thumb, the running game saved them.
No doubt.
Saved them, no doubt. Third down, I think they're at 61% right now for the season, something like that.
For the past four games.
For the past four games, I'm sorry, for the last four games. Running game. It's been a key. Tony Pollard has been fantastic. He's improved himself as a blocker. You can always work with Malik Davis. Zeke has always been a great blocker, but that's for this year. We're talking about the future. Zeke, we love you. We're going to miss you. You'll look good in Kansas City, or you'll look good in Philadelphia or Atlanta or wherever the hell you're going to be, but you will not be here. That's just the business that we're in, because the running back position and those guys, the durability, they break down. Michael, the man got a $90 million contract, third highest in the league in terms of value, and he's breaking down. Why would we keep him?
I'll give you one reason.
Give me a reason. Help me.
You cut him next year. $11.86 million in dead cap. Now, you could do a post June 1st release. You could spread it across two seasons.
That's what they're going to do.
But either,
it's okay.
$11.86 million in dead cap. That is your reason to hold on to Zeke Elliott, because you gave a bad contract to a really good player, and that contract has not aged well. You've got to face it. You can't just wipe it off of your books. The best way to work through it is to work with it. So you knock down the base salary. Maybe you give him some guaranteed money to make him feel better about himself. But overall, it's going to be a pay cut. Cowboys going to do that, and it's going to put him closer to what his market value is. Because if he was to hit the market, I'm not pretending that he is second or third year of his career, Zeke Elliott. If he thinks so, and the Cowboys will move on from him, becomes a free agent, the market will show him that he's not thought of in that way at this stage of his career. But he is someone who helps the Cowboys. He is someone that makes them a better football team. And because of that, and because of the money, they've got to find a way to keep him on the roster next year. And one quick clarification.
Yes, sir.
Zeke Elliott currently is $18.22 million against the cap. Next year, 16.7. The point stands, but I want to make sure I had those numbers correctly, which I think is about where we will leave it. Calvin.
We can leave it at that. I have no problem with that. But this year, he's been fantastic. But the last 2 years, he's been breaking down. And when your body breaks down, when you're playing a collision sport, it's time for you to put some applications in somewhere else. That's just the reality of it, bro.
You're such an ageist. You just, anytime someone gets a certain age, you just want to get rid of them. That is all the time we have officially. Thank you so much for listening to Sports Day Cowboys this week.
The show is produced by Damon Marks, and you can stay up to date. That's right, up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
Key website, dallasnews.com/listen. Links there to everything that we do. You'll also find a special membership offer there just for listeners.
We also want to hear more from you, so email us your questions, comments, and voice memos at dmncowboys@dallasnews.com. And you can also ping us directly on Twitter @DMN_Cowboys and on Facebook @CowboysFanCentral. For the Dallas Morning News, I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We'll see you next week.